Man, what a blessing. Gonna miss Miss Henderson's voice. Amen. And still looking forward to Brother Henderson preaching Sunday morning. All right. Well, usually this time of year we have somebody speak who comes from out of town during the IBFI fellowship meeting. And it's good to have Brother Mark Brown with us. He's preached for us before. And he is a pastor of the greater... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just going to give you a new title. But pastor of Maranatha Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Just kidding. Columbus, Georgia. But he lives in Alabama. And he has a team that he really likes. And Brother Jack Brown doesn't like him so much. But it's okay. Brother Brown's been pastor in Maranatha Baptist Church now over 10 years. Just celebrated 10 years and done a fine job. And he's kin to Brother Wiggins. They're like cousins or something. So anyway, come on, Brother Brown, you preach for us. And he's my friend. I appreciate it.
Yeah, he got under conviction as I was walking up here, and he threw in that friend part. Amen. But it's always a blessing to be here. Brother Eric and I actually went to school together at Norris Bible Baptist Institute. We were one half of the graduating class of 1995. Amen. And we like to think the better half. But we rode to school together many days, traveling up from Nakona and Bowie and those kind of things, but I've been good friends ever since. And then I was not going to mention the fact that Brother Michael and me are cousins, but he already let the cat out of the bag, so we might as well go ahead and get that over with. Known Brother Michael. Miss Donya was actually in my Sunday school class, the first Sunday school class I ever taught, junior class. And here come the junior class. She came in on the church van. And, man, did she have some hair. She was always all dressed up, amen. But been good friends of ours for years and appreciate them. And we've just had a good time fellowshipping this week. So glad to be in the Lord's house, amen. And hope that you're glad to be here. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Genesis, chapter number 41. We're going to look at a very familiar story. For most, I would believe, this evening. One of my favorite Bible characters is Joseph. And the life of Joseph is just so rich. A beautiful, wonderful type of Christ we find in the life of Joseph. And I find myself going back to the account there in the book of Genesis oftentimes. And I want to kind of just give you some thoughts that I hope will be a help and an encouragement to you tonight. And just see what the Lord has for us. We know a little bit about the story of Joseph. We'll give you a real quick overview. Joseph, if you remember, was sold into slavery by his brothers. They originally intended to have him put to death, but cooler heads prevailed. And he was sold off and taken down into the land of Egypt. And you know the story. He was put into the house of Potiphar. There he served in Potiphar's house as a slave. While there, he was wrongly accused. And was put into prison. While in prison, the Bible says that the Lord was with him. Aren't you thankful that whether we're in the palace or the prison, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. And Joseph continued to serve and live for the Lord even in difficult situations. And long story short, we'll go back and look at some of this in just a few moments. But Joseph, if you remember, God used him, especially in the area of interpreting dreams. And Pharaoh had the dreams. We'll look at those in just a few moments. But as a result of those things, he was brought out of prison. And according to the interpretation of the dreams that Pharaoh had, Joseph was put in charge of gathering and storing up the food during the 7 years of plenty. And then in the 7 years of famine, there was bread, there was food, there was grain there in Egypt. And then he brought his family there into the land of Egypt. And what a beautiful story as he forgave his brothers. And when it was all said and done, he was able to say, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." That's the extreme Cliff Note version of Joseph's story as recorded in the book of Genesis. But I want to draw your attention to a particular thought this evening, and we'll just see what the Lord has for us. Notice what the Bible says, Genesis chapter 41, verse number 53. We jump right into the middle of the story. Pharaoh has had the dreams, and we're going to look back at that in just a few moments. But the 7 years of plenty in the land, and then the 7 years of famine, we jump right into the midst of all of that going on. Verse 53 says, "And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt," watch these next three words, "there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt, and all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was sore in all lands." We know from Joseph's testimony later in the story, you'll flip back, just hold your place here, flip back to chapter 45. From Joseph's own testimony, he recognized God's hand in all of the things that transpired in this situation, being sold into slavery, being cast into the pit, being taken into Potiphar's house, being the trials and the temptations. He recognized God's hand in all of it. As a matter of fact, in chapter 45 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Chapter number 50, you know the passage, but let's look at it again this evening real quickly. Chapter number 50 and verse 19, "And Joseph said unto them," he's speaking to his brothers, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Joseph recognized, when it was all said and done, that God ordered his steps in these events. He ordered his steps, according to Joseph's own testimony, to preserve life, to save life. Now watch this. I want you to begin to notice this. When did Joseph, what exactly went on in order for Joseph to be in this place to save these people alive? This great deliverance, if you will. Let's just put it this way. We'll have a word of prayer. God brought Joseph to this place for this hour. In our text tonight, we see some things that I want to draw to your attention this evening. I want you to notice this phrase, and it's the key, I believe, to the entire account of Joseph. The selling of Joseph into slavery is all hinged upon what we're going to look at tonight. The serving in Potiphar's house, the seeing of the dreams, all of those things are contingent and hinged upon the phrase that I'm going to show you tonight in the passage of Scripture before us. Go back to your text in chapter number 41, and I want to draw your attention to one phrase in verse number 56. The Bible says, in the midst of that verse, "And Joseph opened all the storehouses." Watch this. Joseph opened all the storehouses. Joseph would later say, "God put me in this place for this hour to save many people." Can I say this evening, had the storehouses not been filled, all of that would have been in vain. Had the storehouses not been opened, all of that would have been in vain. want to give you some simple thoughts tonight on this thought. Joseph opened all the storehouses. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much again for the precious word of God. I thank you for the opportunity that we have tonight, the privilege and the freedom to simply open the precious word of God and read what thus saith the Lord. We don't take that for granted. We don't take it lightly. We want to thank you for that freedom. We count it a privilege. I thank you for this church and the testimony of this church. I thank you for this pastor and his family, and Lord, the friendship that they have shown to us through the years. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless them. I pray you'd bless this church. Continue to do a work in it, for it, to it, and through it. And we'll thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you bless now these next few moments. Give me the words to say. Give me clarity of thought as we preach. Give me conviction. Give me compassion. Give me recall of those things that you've impressed upon my heart, that we might be a blessing to these people and most importantly, glorify your precious name. Lord, we don't know the needs tonight, but we know the answer to every need represented is found in the precious person of Jesus Christ and in the Word of God. I pray again tonight that you'd open all of our hearts to receive upon good ground that precious seed of your word, and that we might not simply be hearers of the word, but we'd be doers of the word, not simply receiving, but Lord, responding as you'd have us respond. Guide us now, direct us, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the story of Joseph is somewhat familiar to us, but I kind of just want to kind of get into it a little bit this evening, and then we'll make some application that I hope will be a help. Joseph is again, he's his brothers envy him. And they cast him into the pit. They sell him off into slavery. He winds up in prison. And all of these things are going on. Joseph, he goes through trials. He goes through testings. He goes through temptations. But when it's all said and done, he goes from the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison, but ultimately to the palace. Amen. He goes through trials and troubles. He goes through temptations and testings. But ultimately, it's a story of triumph as we look back and we see God's hand in all of it. And I began to think about this passage of Scripture one day as I was reading this. And that phrase that Joseph opened all the storehouses just kind of jumped out at me. And I began to think about, you know, all of the things that went on in Joseph's life, the good and the bad and all of those things. Again, even from Joseph's own testimony, God did all of those things, brought him to this place for this hour at the moment when he opened all the storehouses. Now, I began to think about that, and I want to show you just a couple of things, and hopefully we'll see what God has for us tonight. Go back in our text, chapter number 41. Go back to verse number 33. I want you to notice that when Joseph, before Joseph opened all the storehouses, some things had to transpire. Number one, I want you to notice this. Joseph planned the storehouses. Joseph planned the storehouses. Look in verse number 33, if you will, tonight. The Bible says, and just for sake of time, earlier, in just a few verses prior, Pharaoh has had these dreams. He doesn't understand the dreams. And he's looking for somebody to interpret the dreams. They bring Joseph in, and Joseph begins to tell Pharaoh what the dreams mean. He says in verse number 30, "There shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land." And Joseph says, this is what your dreams are saying, Pharaoh. There's going to be 7 years of plenty in the land. There's going to be a time of great fruitfulness in the land. But they're going to be followed by 7 years of famine, 7 years of hard times, 7 years of dearth. He says that's basically what your dreams are meaning. And so he's beginning to explain those things to Pharaoh here in this passage of Scripture. And then in light of that, he has a suggestion. Verse 33, "Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years and let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. And that food," watch these next few words, "shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine." Joseph says, Pharaoh, this is what I believe I would do if I were you. You need to get somebody. You need to appoint somebody over this task. And during the 7 years of plenty, during the 7 years of fruitfulness, take one-fifth of the fruit that comes from that land and put it in store. Put it in store because the 7 years of famine are coming. And when the 7 years of famine come, you're going to have something that you can draw from that you have put back in store. So watch this now. Joseph planned these storehouses. We know the story. Pharaoh said, sounds like a good plan. You know, it's kind of like what you do sometimes in a church setting when somebody comes up to the pastor and says, hey, why don't you consider this? And the pastor says, sounds like a good idea. You be in charge of that. That's kind of what happened. Joseph said, hey, this is what you need to do. Pharaoh says, okay, you're that man. Take care of it. Now watch me. The storehouses was Joseph's idea. If you don't get anything else, understand this. The storehouse was Joseph's idea. He said in verse number 36, that the land perish not. Here it is. The famine did not catch Joseph by surprise. Long before the famine came, Joseph knew all about it. Dr. Barber used to say this a lot. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? Now watch this. The Lord has planned ahead to provide our needs. There is no famine that will come in your life or into my life that has caught God by surprise. There are a lot of times when we listen to the voicemail or check the answering machine or get some news and it's not good news and all of a sudden that good day has turned into a bad day because of something that has taken place. It started out clear blue skies, but before the day's end, watch me now, we found ourselves in some sort of famine, if you will. And it caught us completely off guard. It caught us completely by surprise, but it didn't catch God by surprise. He planned it a long time ago. Boy, I tell you what, that encourages me. That helps me to know this. The famines of our life have been planned for by God. You remember when the Lord, the Bible tells us in Mark's Gospel that He constrained His disciples to get onto the ship and to cross over to the other side. They got on the ship and the Bible says that as they began going to the other side, the wind began to blow and the wind was contrary to them. It was contrary. I find it interesting in Mark's Gospel, as Jesus sent them to the other side, the Bible says He went up into the mountain to pray. But the Bible says this, He saw them toiling in rowing. The disciples got on the ship in obedience to the Lord. He said, you're going to the other side. But in the midst of this sea, the wind begins to be contrary to them and they're toiling in rowing. They're having a hard time. They're going against the wind, if you will. Have you ever been like that? You're in the Lord's will. You're doing what the Lord told you to do. And you get out there and all of a sudden the winds of life begin to blow and they seem contrary to us. We don't know what in the world's going on. And the Bible says that He saw them. Well, I tell you what encourages me tonight. He sees me. You see, this storm on the sea didn't catch Jesus by surprise. It caught the disciples by surprise, but not Jesus. And that famine that you might find yourself in from time to time might catch you by surprise. But it didn't catch Him by surprise. He sees us. And watch me now. He planned for it a long time ago. 7 years of plenty and everything's going wonderful and everything's going good. And boy, I tell you what, it just seemed like the fruit is abounding and things are going great. But Joseph said, take one-fifth and put it in store. Take one-fifth and put it in store. For 7 years, take one-fifth and put it in store. Now all of these people, the common man, if you will, they're thinking everything's wonderful. But one day, watch me, those 7 years of plenty came to an end. A couple of months into it, they began to look around and they began to notice gas prices are going up. And these 7 years of famine caught them by surprise. But not Joseph. Long time ago, he saw it coming. Planned for it. He planned for it. Number two, watch me now, real quickly. Number one, the famines of our life have been planned for. Number two, this is a deep message, so try to stay with me. Joseph filled the storehouses. Look in verse number 47. Look at verse number 47. Not only did he plan the storehouse, but he filled the storehouse. Look in verse number 47. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. Aren't you thankful for the mountaintop experiences in our life? You know, we do go through trials. We go through burdens sometimes. But boy, the blessings far outweigh. The earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field which was round about every city laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. Joseph gathered corn. The Bible says concerning that which he gathered and put in store, it was very much. The Bible says it was without number. Can I put it this way? The storehouses were filled with very much, without number, of the very thing that the people were going to need when the famine struck. There was no shortage of that which the people would need. What did he put in the storehouse? Corn. Grain. Why? When the famine came, they weren't going to need gold. When the famine came, they weren't going to need silver. When the famine came, they weren't going to need precious stones. When the famine came, what were they going to need? Food. You see, when Joseph planned the storehouse, he began stockpiling, he began storing in the storehouse that which the people were going to need in the hour of the famine. Whew. Don't miss this. God knows what you need before you even know you have a need. And he has filled the storehouse with the very thing that he knows you are going to need. There are some who find themselves in a famine of sin. Can I say to you that the storehouse has been filled with forgiveness? There are some who find themselves from time to time in a famine of sorrow. God saw it coming a long time ago. He planned for it, and he's already filled his storehouse with comfort. Watch me now. Listen, some may find themselves in a famine of struggle, strife, difficulty, hardship, heartache, heartbreak. Watch me. God has already seen it coming, and he's already filled his storehouse with strength. What are you saying? I'm saying Joseph filled the storehouse with that which the people were going to need in the hour of famine. And God has already filled His storehouse with that which you are going to need and what I am going to need in the hour of famine. He has a storehouse tonight full of grace. And it's grace that is sufficient in your hour of need. He has a storehouse tonight that's filled with love. He has a storehouse tonight that's filled with mercy and blessing and power and long-suffering and wisdom and guidance. Whatever it is in the hour of famine that you and I are going to need, we didn't see it coming. It may catch us by surprise, but God has already planned for it. God already saw it coming, and He took and He filled His storehouse with grace and mercy and long-suffering and love and peace and comfort and strength and forgiveness, whatever it might be that you and I need. By the way, He didn't just put a little dab in there, amen. He put very much, without number, an unlimited supply of that which you and I need. Power, strength, direction, guidance, long-suffering, peace, joy, whatever it might be. God has filled that storehouse. Joseph planned the storehouse. Joseph filled the storehouse with that very thing that the people were going to need. But can I say this tonight? All the planning in the world, all of the filling in the world would have done them no good. It would have been completely in vain had Joseph not opened the storehouse. Whew, don't miss this. I'm glad that he planned for it. And I'm glad that he filled it. But at some point and at some time, he had to open it. He had to open it. You see, it was for this purpose that he filled the storehouse. For this purpose, he filled the storehouse. Don't miss this. I began to think about this. We have a young lady in our church who is almost like a daughter. When Brother Michael and Ms. Donya was with us, this young lady, they know her very well. She's my oldest daughter's best friend. Her name is Carla. Carla graduated from high school. Sweet girl, been in our church and probably been at my house as much as she's been at her own house through the years, being good friends with my daughter and almost like part of our family. She graduated from high school and had plans and she left and she went up to Crown College there in Tennessee. First year of school, went in and got into the dorms and went the first semester of school. Everything going great. She come home for Christmas break after her first semester there at Crown College. And we had a virus going around in our community, in our church. People were having stomach bug and different things going on, you know, like sometimes you have, especially during that time of year. Carla got sick. And it just kind of hung on with her. She started having bad headaches and throwing up and all of these things going on. And thought, well, she's got the stomach bug. She's got the virus that's going around. Long story short, on a Sunday afternoon, we had been in church, and she wasn't able to come to church that morning. She had been to church all week. We were in stewardship conference, and she had been at church the whole week and singing in the choir, just everything normal. She got a little bit sick, wasn't able to come to the last night of the stewardship conference, and then Sunday morning, she wasn't in church. She was still sick. And I got a phone call after church. It was her dad. He said, "Could you come up to the emergency room? I've got Carla at the emergency room. Could you just come up and have prayer with her?" I said, "Sure." Get to the emergency room, and Carla's in there, and her head is just excruciating pain. long story short, they found this was on a Sunday. Was it Monday night? Monday afternoon, we went back up to the hospital to visit with Carla. We went in and they had her in ICU. Then the doctors came out and said, we're going to rush her into surgery. They had to remove her skull, part of her skull. They did brain surgery on her Monday night, emergency brain surgery. She had gotten a staph infection that got into her bloodstream, that got into her brain, and they said it is almost always fatal. Wow. This girl was just a week ago finishing up her first semester at Crown College. Just a couple of days ago, she was singing in the choir. And now her life is hanging by a thread. The surgery was successful, but she had a long battle with therapy. They sent her up to the Shepherd Center in Atlanta to do therapy. She's doing fine now. She'll be going on vacation with our family in a couple of weeks. I began to think about that shocked us. We met that doctor and he came in and he said, we've got to take her in for brain surgery right now. We didn't expect it. It caught us completely off guard. But you know what? It didn't catch God by surprise. God knew about it a long time ago, and He planned for it. And He began filling a storehouse with Carla Bullington's name on it. He said, there's going to come an hour when she's going to need an extra measure of strength. Without number, very much strength was placed into the storehouse. God said, there's coming a time when this young lady is going to need my grace. And He began putting grace into the storehouse of Carla Bullington. Very much, without number. One Sunday afternoon, the famine came. One who has the key to the storehouse walked over to Carla Bullington's storehouse. He opened it. And in that storehouse was the very thing that she would need. I want you to notice a couple of things about the storehouse, and I'm done. Look in verse number 55. Some things to consider about the opening of the storehouse. I want you to notice a simple word. The Bible says, and when all the land of Egypt was famished. A word we would skip over if we're not careful. The word is when. And when all the land of Egypt was famished. So what does that have to do with anything? He opened them at the right time. He opened the storehouse at the right time. You see, had Joseph opened the storehouse too early, the supply would have been gone prematurely. Had Joseph opened the storehouse too late, people would have died. Joseph opened all the storehouses at the exact moment, just the right time. You see, we sit back and we say, God, I need this and I need this and I need this. But wait a minute. He knows what we need, but He also knows when we need it. You see, there's something about the will and the way of God that we miss sometimes. It's not just a what and a where, but it's also a when. Just the right time. God knows when to open the storehouse. He knows exactly what we need, and He knows exactly when we need it. Second thing I want you to notice about this opening of the storehouse, not only was it the right time, but I like this. Joseph had the authority to open the storehouse. Go back to verse 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Joseph has been given this authority now. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. And the Bible says that he's over all of this. Go to verse number 43. The Bible says, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. So now Joseph has been given this authority. You know, I often say this. It's the one who has the keys who has the authority. You ever seen a sign, authorized personnel only? You know who authorized personnel is? It's the one who has the key to the door. Our Savior's been given the keys. You see, not just anybody could go to the storehouse and open it. Only Joseph had the authority. Joseph was the one who had the key, if you will, to the storehouse. As a matter of fact, look at verse number 55 again. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Now watch, don't miss this. They came to Pharaoh and said, hey, we're hungry, we need something to eat. Now watch what Pharaoh said. Go unto Joseph. Why? It's Joseph who had the key to the storehouse. It's Joseph who had the authority to open the storehouse. Whew. Our Lord is in control. If you want bread, you have to go to Joseph. Not Pharaoh. In our hour of famine, He knows what we need. He knows when we need it. But guess what? We've got to go to Him to get it. You know what our problem is? When the hour of famine comes, we go to the world. We go to the doctors. We go to the psychiatrist. We go to the psychologist. We go to our checkbook. We go to the credit companies. We go everywhere we can to try to fix and put a Band-Aid on the famine of our life. When all along, we should have went to Joseph who planned for this famine a long time ago. We should have went to Joseph who filled the storehouse with that which we're going to need. We should go to Joseph who has the key to the storehouse. And when the time is right, should we go to Him, He'll open the storehouse. And in your hour of darkness, He'll give you that which you need. Just the right time. Look at verse 57. I'm almost done. I want you to notice this. He opened the storehouse at just the right time. He had the authority to open the storehouse. But I want you to notice this. Anyone could come to the storehouse. Look at verse 57. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn. Wasn't just you can go to Joseph and you can go to... Well, you can't go to Joseph. No, no. Anyone who would could come to Joseph. And in the right time, when the time was right, He who had the keys would open that storehouse. And in that storehouse was the very thing that you would need. And not just a dabble, do you? Amen. All that you need. All the grace you're going to need in that hour of darkness. All the strength you're going to need in that hour of weakness. All the long-suffering you're going to need. All the forgiveness you're going to need. All that you need, He planned for, He filled, and He opens that storehouse. And anybody can come to the storehouse. Anybody can come to Joseph. Now, wouldn't it be a sad commentary if you lived in the shadow of the storehouse, but you were unwilling to go to Joseph? How sad it is that we know what we need and what we must do, but so many refuse to come to Joseph. Carla Bullington got sick. We didn't see it coming. It caught us completely off guard, totally by surprise. She went through a hard time. We didn't understand what was going on. Joseph went through a difficult time. He didn't understand what was going on, but Joseph said, when it was all over with, he said, "God sent me before you to preserve life." Carla Bullington, 20 years old, my daughter's best friend. Her life hanging by a thread. And you scratch your head and you wonder, "Lord, why? Why did this happen?" Well, God opened the storehouse and He supplied her need. And she's doing fine now. She has a comb over because of her head being shaved. But other than a scar that goes like that, you wouldn't even know she was sick at this point. And we wonder why. Why? Why? Sunday morning, this Sunday, past Sunday morning, Carla Bullington's best friend, my daughter, trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. She said, "Daddy, I have been struggling with this for years. I've been doubting my salvation, and I'll talk myself into it, but there was an emptiness for years." And when Carla got sick, I knew if that was me and I died, you would preach my funeral of me in heaven, but I would have been in hell. Why did this happen to Carla? I don't know, but I do know one reason. God knew that Carla's best friend, we thought was saved, was actually lost. And this famine came into Carla's life to save one life. All of that caught us by surprise, but God planned the storehouse. God filled the storehouse. And in just the right time, in just the right hour, God opened the storehouse. stand with me as heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, thank you for the day you've given us. I thank you for your precious word tonight. I pray that you would help us to trust you more. Have your way in Jesus' name.